we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh radio broadcast coming to you on from the Saints at Merritt Assembly of God. And so we trust that you are having a great month of May. It's been a busy, busy month for us with lots of birthdays and Mother's Day and holidays and all sorts of fun stuff. And we trust that you have had a good time. We're going to be having church tonight, Wednesday night. Kids ministry starts at 6 with eating. And so we make it easy for the parents who, you know, might get off at 5 o'clock. That way you don't have to run home, try and get the kids ready for dinner and all that sort of stuff. You can come to church, and we feed the kids and any adults that might happen to be there as long as the food holds up. And then classes start at 6:30. Adults worship starts at 7. That service runs till about 7:45. I teach that Bible study. And for those of you who think that I just work one day a week, I want you to know it is not the case. Today we want to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Highly recommend them for their block and concrete work. And if they can be a blessing to you, please give them a call, have them come out and give you an estimate. If you'd like to see some of their handiwork, you can call the church, 321-454-4263. We can tell you to come by the church. We can tell you what they did and what was done before I know who did it. And so I can tell you this, that all of the block work and concrete work that has been done at the church since I've been there have been done by the wonderful folks at Jits Concrete. And so we encourage you to come by and take a look, and that way you've got an idea of what all they do. So with that being said, we're going to get into the Word of God right after I remind you that coming up on June 10th and 11th is our 65th anniversary celebration weekend. We are going to be having a special service Saturday night, 6:30 p.m., and then Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Jerry Hill, the widow of the late evangelist Steve Hill from the Brownsville Revival, is going to be with us. We are believing God for a mighty move of His Spirit. We're believing that people who are trapped in drugs and alcohol, they're going to be set free. Listen, long before the revival broke out, the Hills were already ministering. They were ministering in countries around the world. They know what it is like to have the power of drug addiction broken in your life. And so if you have family members that need to be set free, invite them to come. The Spirit of Jesus is greater than the spirit of bondage. And so they know what it's like to come through the valley of sorrow and so many other life experiences that they are going to be able to pray. We're believing for a mighty move of God, and we ask that you would come and join us at that point in time. Sometimes if you feel like you're just looking for someone who can help you to make the next step, Jerry also has a mentoring program called BEAM, B-E-A-M. It stands for Bestow, Edify, Adorn, and Mandate. And you can find out about that, their School of Evangelism, all sorts of things that are coming or that they will be sharing about when they are with us June the 10th and 11th. So with that being said, let's get into the Word of God today, Isaiah, the 64th chapter. We're getting close to the end of this. If you feel like you've spent a good portion of your life in the book of Isaiah on the Refresh Radio program, Your feeler works well. We have spent close to a year, if not over a year, in the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down, the mountains shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you, and for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. That's where we're going to stop reading. We talked on the last broadcast, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. And it goes on to say, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. I do want to remind you today that God's goal is to impact more than just you and more than just your family. You're saved? Awesome. Your family saved? That's wonderful. He wants to use you to touch those that he died to save, and that is every man, woman, and child that is breathing upon this planet. He wants them to know that Jesus loves them, that he died to forgive them so that they could be reconciled to the Father, and that he will empower them to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable in his sight. And so we need to make this a prayer of intensity. In my Bible, it has exclamation points. I know that the grammar isn't in the original manuscripts, but it says, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, and that the nations may tremble at your presence. All of those have exclamation points after them. That means that there's an importance about them. There is an urgency about them. And so we want the name of Jesus to be known, even amongst our adversaries. Verse number 3 says, when you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down, the mountain shook at your presence, and we'll stop there. So, if our goal is for the nations to experience the presence of God, Isaiah says, God, we remember the times when you did awesome things for which we did not look, and the mountains shook at your presence. What Isaiah is praying here in verses 1 and 2 is that God would repeat history, that he would do what he's done before. And I want you to know, when he did it before, he's still capable of doing it now. The things that he's capable of doing in the future that are prophesied in the Word, it's not a skill he is going to develop at some future time. It is a skill he already has and has always had. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so Isaiah says, when you did awesome things for which we did not look. I want to start this Wednesday off by letting you know that God is very capable of ambushing you with his blessings. I don't know about you, but I have been ambushed enough in life with shocks or surprises that were not good, things that I did not expect, experiences that happened that weren't on my agenda, things that I hadn't planned nor prepared for. I've had enough of those. But Isaiah said, God, the mountains have shaken at your presence before when you did things that we weren't looking for. One of the things that I often say to people is that we should praise God for who he is. We should praise God for the things that he has done. But it is my firm belief that when we get to heaven, we are going to find that God was a lot more active behind the scenes of our life than what we give him credit for. That there are a lot of things that he did that we weren't expecting. There are a lot of things that he has done that we will not find out about until we get to heaven. And he says, you thought I was just on vacation, but I want you to see what I was doing in your life. And there are enough times in my life where I didn't know what God was doing at the time. I was just trusting in his goodness and trusting in his call. And it wasn't until later on down the road that I began to realize that he had done great things that were beyond my understanding. He wasn't asking for my permission. I had given him permission when I asked him to be my Lord, to order my steps and direct my path. And so as he did that, I didn't realize that he was setting me up for success instead of failure. Sometimes there were things that looked like they were lateral moves, but they were actually steps forward to the divine placement that God had for my life. And I want you to understand today that he is doing the same for you. God is doing things that you aren't even looking for yet. You know, I grew up playing chess. I've told some of my stories about how at church anyway, I think probably here on the radio program, where I was in the chess club in junior high school. And they would decide who you were playing. And I had some experience, and I was playing a person who had never played chess before. And you have to understand that at our house, my father never let us win at anything. If we won, we earned it. And so on that day in chess club, I was going to make that person earn it. But what I didn't realize is that day I was not just playing that person. I was playing every person in the chess club who was coaching. And so where I only had one set of eyes, they had multiple sets of eyes from different perspectives and different skill levels. And they were all helping this person. So I was literally waging chess war against the entire strategy club. And I've got some chess sets that my grandmother made for me, and so they have sentimental value. But I found it hard to find people to play chess, and so when they came out with chess computer games where you could play one person against the computer, I liked that because it helped me to develop that or keep that strategy and that skill set alive. And the first one of those that I had 10 different levels that you could play against the computer. And the first level, the computer didn't think any moves ahead. It just moved pieces. The level one, it thought one move ahead. Level two, it thought two moves ahead, until it was level 10. And at that point in time, it was giving consideration to all of your possible moves, 10 moves ahead of what you were doing. And I want you to know that whoever programmed that computer had nothing upon God, because the provision of God, the blessings of God, and the favor of God in your life, things that God is doing to make his name known in your sphere of influence, in your world, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, the things that God is doing, he is thinking so far ahead of you that it is best just to trust him and say, God, I may not even be out that far for quite a while yet, but I know that you lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. God, when you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down the mountains shook at your presence. What a great promise. Trust today that God is working on behalf of you. Things that you aren't even looking for, God is preparing for you. You know, in fact, I will say this. Do you know when I found my wife was when I wasn't looking for her. I had finally reached a stage in my life that said, God, I love you. I love the place that you have placed me. I love what you are doing in my life. And all of a sudden, when I quit looking for God's provision, I just started enjoying my walk with God and looking for God. God said, have I got a surprise for you? Today, God's got wonderful blessings in store for you. And I just want to commend to you today that you and I have a person who is working awesome things in our life. Verse number 4, for since the beginning of the world, this is a great verse. I want you to pay close attention to it. Verse number 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who acts for the one who waits for him. So when you first look at that, you are reminded that eye has not seen nor ear heard the things which God has prepared for those who love him. This says, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who acts for the one who waits for him. Since the very inception of the world, God has been acting on behalf of those who will wait upon him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What is the condition? Waiting on the Lord. God will act for you. You see, we don't like to wait. I know people who many times have grown impatient with God's provision. Abraham got impatient with God's provision. Sarai got impatient with God's provision, took matters into their own hands and made a mess out of it. You know, we don't have to look at the Bible just to only see the examples of that. Many times we do the same thing. There was a time when Saul took matters into his own hands because he thought that Samuel was neglectful and running late. And as he did that, it was actually an indication that he was not going to be the long-term fit for being the king of Israel. I've got a good news for you, and that is, if we will wait in the presence of God, God can do more in a moment on your behalf. God can speak more to you in waiting upon him than you could ever accomplish or glean, than you could ever perceive on your own. It says that has been God's method of operation since the beginning of the world. And if he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which he is, that means he is still operating that way today. Hallelujah. That means that today, if we will wait upon him, and I'm waiting is not an inactivity. It is not just sitting around twiddling your thumbs. It is sitting. It is positioning yourself where God wants you to be, doing the things, occupying until he comes. You are saying, God, I am going to serve you. I am going to wait on you. I'm going to be here to minister to your needs. And God, I am confident that just as you have operated since the very beginning of the world, it's still going to be the same today. You are going to speak on my behalf. You are going to act in such a manner that I'm going to be able to see that you are moving because I have been waiting upon you. So when you and I are in prayer, and before I came into the station today, I was spending time in his word and spending time in prayer and spending time in worship. I said, God, I need to go in. I need to go in having spent some time with you. They don't need to hear from Bob. They need to hear from God. And so whatever you're going through today, I encourage you that the God who's done awesome things that others weren't looking for in the past will do those awesome things for you. And just as he has moved on behalf of those who were waiting for him before, he will do the same for you. Verse number 5, you meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. We're gonna touch on as many of these as we can today, but there's three very important elements there. It's like you act, God acts for the one who waits for him, and then there are these three promises. God will meet him who rejoices. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You look in the book of Philippians and you will see that the joy of the Lord is a very prominent theme there. That it was something that they knew that Paul was not sharing just philosophically, because the birth of the church in Philippi had taken place when Paul and Silas were worshiping the Lord while they were beaten and incarcerated, and they had been treated wrongly and harshly. And then God moved supernaturally, and they weren't set free. The jailer was set free. The jailer and his entire household came to the Lord because Paul and Silas were worshiping the Lord even after they had been treated badly. You know, if you haven't been treated badly by someone, stick around a while. I'm sure someone will take care of that for you. It happens to all of us, you know, where someone misunderstands an action and you get accused of doing something that you really didn't do. If somebody sees something and they blame you, even though you weren't the one that was responsible for it. In those situations, it's easy to want to lash out. It is easy to want to vindicate yourself. But I want you to know today that we are called by God to bless those who despitefully use us. And so I want to challenge you that instead of letting bitterness set in whenever mistreatment comes your way, let rejoicing. I believe it says rejoice when men despitefully use you. And so great is your reward in heaven. Rejoice. If you're not seeing your reward here, you can rest assured God hasn't lost it. It's perfectly positioned for you. He is your shield and your exceeding great reward. You meet him who rejoices, and it goes, rejoices and does righteousness. Another translation says, joyfully works righteousness. And so today I believe that we need to act like Christians, but I believe that we need to do it with a smile on our face instead of a grimace. I think we ought to do it rejoicing with praise instead of complaining with murmuring. There are too many complainers in the world already. The world needs Christians who operate in a different spirit. Jesus told some of the disciples, you don't know what type of spirit you are of. And I believe that if we realized how wonderful the Holy Spirit is when he operates in our life, if we would truly appreciate the grace of God and how wonderful he is and how he has empowered us to live in righteousness and holiness with Jesus in our heart, that it would be a lot easier to rejoice. Probably the greatest example of this that I ever experienced was a man who was dying with a brain tumor. He was 42 years old when he passed away. And I knew him on a regular basis. I encountered him almost daily. He was a trustee in the church. He was a man of faith. He is a man who people had taken advantage of and treated badly. He wasn't a tremendously gifted businessman. He wasn't a tremendously gifted carpenter, but he was a tremendous child of God. And every day people would ask him, "How are you doing today?" And he'd say, "I am blessed and highly favored. I am blessed coming in and I am blessed going out." And he would just begin to praise God. And people would literally say, who didn't know him, they would say, "Man, I wish I didn't have any problems like he doesn't have any problems. Then I too could be blessed." I want you to know it doesn't have anything to do with that, because there were people that had bankrupted that man. There were people who had treated him badly financially, and they didn't know that his body was betraying him and a tumor was growing inside of his brain that would take him out at 42 years old. And they're postponing their rejoicing. They're postponing their acts of obedience until, some future utopian state. And this man said, "You know what? I ain't waiting. I'm going to be worshiping God in heaven. And, I'm not going to wait to start celebrating till then. I'm going to start now." Who remembers you in your ways? That's the third thing. Who remembers God and his ways? God says, "I'm going to meet that man. I'm going to meet the man who rejoices. I'm going to meet the man who joyfully works righteousness, and I am going to meet with the man or with the woman who remembers me and how I operate, how I do things." God always operates. He is moved with compassion. He operates in love. He operates in holiness. God doesn't lie to achieve a means through, as far as him is concerned, the end does not justify the means. He operates in truth and integrity and righteousness and holiness and power and goodness and blessing and favor. He operates in grace. He operates from strength. He is a great, wonderful God. Today, don't you need to spend some time with him? If you want God to meet with you today, I want to encourage you, wait for him. I want to encourage you, rejoice. And I want to encourage you to work righteousness, to do righteousness, to live righteousness. And I want to encourage you today to remember that God operates according to God's wisdom and God's ways. His ways are higher than our ways. We need to meet with him because our world needs to know that God does awesome things on behalf of his people. I don't know if that sounds like a good way to start your day, but it does to me. God bless you. You have a wonderful day in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."